Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, March the 9th. And I know I'm in the minority, but I don't really look forward to daylight saving time, the change in the spring. And this spring, it's coming early, this weekend, 3 weeks earlier than usual, following an act of Congress. The bill passed by Congress moving daylight saving time for the first time since 1986 was pushed as a way to save more energy, and advocates say there are many other benefits to that extra hour of daylight in the evenings, and we'll talk more about that this hour. And we will wonder if you're a fan of daylight saving time, or like this folk song singer, not so much.
For years and years, folks got along with an old grandfather's clock, or just a common old sundial sitting out on a rock. Then the dollar watch, it had its day, and the wristwatch, it was fine. Then along came a man that ruined us all with daylight saving time. I'm a-hunting that man who first thought up daylight saving time. Until he moved the clocks around, everything was going fine. But I guess he's hid and won't come out, he knows he's out of line. I get up late, have to wait, can't keep it straight. Who did he hate? I mean the man that first thought up daylight saving time.
Well, our guest this hour didn't invent or make up daylight saving time, but is considered probably the country's foremost authority on it, and he helped convince Congress to make the change, moving it up this year. And he'll tell us why it's a good thing and also why it's so controversial. And we'll welcome your questions and opinions at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk at wpr.org. David Prernow is author of Seize the Daylight, the curious and contentious story of daylight saving time. He formerly conducted studies on daylight saving time for the U.S. Department of Transportation. He was also a consultant to U.S. Representative Ed Markey of Massachusetts and Representative Fred Upton of Michigan on their bill to extend DST. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Well, I understand just about everyone in Congress had your book in their possession as this was being discussed and voted upon, so I guess you consulted all of Congress on this issue.
Yes, and I think the book points out the positives and the negatives, so I think it gives a reasonably accurate overall view of the whole subject, and so that's why I think several of the congressmen looked at it.
Yeah, so can we then credit you or blame you for the change this year?
Well, I did. You might credit me possibly for the way it was done, and that's where I got involved. When it was decided that they wanted to add about a month of daylight saving time, I recommended that they add more in the spring than the fall, and that's what happened. So that might be my little contribution.
Why did you recommend that?
Well, the previous system was a little weighted towards the fall. The sunrises in September and October are about the same as in March and April. But for many years, we had daylight saving time in September and October and not in March and April. Then in 1986, we added the month of April. But even then, we still had the fact that the sunrises in October were the same as March, but we had daylight saving time in October and not in March. So I suggested if we're going to add a month, try to add it mostly in March because that won't bring any later sunrises than we already have and we're already used to in October. And that's what wound up happening.
So we are 3 weeks earlier than usual with the change this weekend, and then we will fall back about a week later than usual in the first weekend of November. Yeah, and how much energy is this going to save?
Well, the previous studies have shown daylight saving time saves about 1% in electrical energy. But those studies were done a while ago, and so part of the bill was to ask the U.S. Department of Energy to do a new study, and that's going to come out at the end of this year. So we'll have a better idea of the current situation. But studies in more recent studies in other countries and some around here, most of them also show an energy benefit.
Yeah. And you say it also will have other benefits besides energy savings.
Yes. One of the major benefits is that it also reduces traffic accidents and fatalities. And in fact, some countries, such as Great Britain, consider the saving in accidents and fatalities the most important benefit of daylight saving time, and they focus their discussions on daylight saving time on the accident and fatality saving. But that's considered a major benefit.
So we're crashing into each other's on the highways because it's we don't have that extra hour of daylight in the evening.
Well, the idea is that there's a lot more traffic in the evening than in the morning. In most places, the evening rush hour had maybe two or three times the traffic as the morning rush hour. Plus, drivers in the evening are more fatigued than those in the morning. And also, third factor is that there's some percentage of people in the evening that might have taken a drink on their way before they started driving, where not much of that happens in the morning. So for all those reasons, if we have a choice, it's better to have an extra hour of light, which helps reduce accidents, have that extra hour of light in the evening than in the morning. So there'll be some increase of accidents in the morning, but it'll be more than compensated for by a larger decrease in the evening.
We're going to check the weather forecast. I don't know if we're going to see a lot of sunshine today or not. Let's find out. And then we'll talk about this springing ahead that we're going to do this coming Sunday when daylight saving time begins early this year, 3 weeks earlier than usual. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We're talking about why this change was made and wondering what you think about it. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, March the 9th. Ben Marins is with you this afternoon between 4 and 6 for At Issue with Ben Marins. After 5, Ben will be talking with the author of Death by Suburb, talking about suburban toxins that so many of us live with. Find out more about that after 5 o'clock. We're talking with David Prayer now. He is author of Seize the Daylight, the curious and contentious story of daylight saving time. And we're talking about the DST, that's going to be springing ahead early this weekend, early this year, the first change in daylight saving time since 1986. Congress passed this bill, moving it up in March and delaying it a week in the fall to save energy, among other things. And we welcome your thoughts and questions about this for our guest. And our first caller is Becky in Verona. Hi, Becky.
Hi, how are you, Joy?
Good.
I have two questions for David, basically. My first one is, I work in IT, and we had to spend a lot of hours getting all our computers ready for this change. There's a lot of customized code that's written that uses the algorithm for the way the date changed before that had to be fixed. I can't tell you how many hours we had to spend preparing for this change. So my first question was, I wondered if they had any idea when they made this change how it would affect people who work with computers. And then my second question is, I had heard that the reason the date change was requested was to satisfy candy manufacturers, that the lobbyists for candy companies wanted to have more sunlight to encourage people to buy more candy for Halloween and for Easter.
What? Really?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, David, it's Prerau. I was mispronouncing your name. I'm sorry. But were candy manufacturers involved in this?
Well, I personally didn't know of any involvement of them. I know back in 1986 they were somewhat involved in trying to get an extra week of daylight saving time in the fall to cover Halloween. But of course, Congress is deluged with many interest groups, and I'm not sure that was the main concern about that. Let me just talk about Halloween for a second. One of the reasons that daylight saving time was extended a week in the fall was to cover Halloween. Mm-hmm. But I think the major impetus for that was that on Halloween, the children's pedestrian accident rate is four times the average of the rest of the year. So, and you could see why, because kids are running across the street not paying much attention to the traffic in the dark and doing trick-or-treating. So one of the hopes of the expansion of daylight saving time a week in the fall is that under the previous system, we never had daylight saving time on Halloween. Under the new system, we'll always have it. And so that extra hour would hopefully reduce some of that very high accident rate on that day. And I'm sure it didn't make the candy manufacturers unhappy, and they probably pushed it, but I don't think they were the prime impetus.
Yeah, what about our computers and cell phones and gadgets?
Yes, well, that's true. That's definitely a problem. But first of all, Congress understood that, and that's why when they passed this law in the summer of 2005, they had it take effect in 2007. The original proposal was to have it take effect immediately, but they pushed it back about 2 years to allow for some time for these computer and electronic device problems to be worked on. And one thing you have to think about is that this is a one-time transition problem, and that the last time we changed daylight saving time, the system we used lasted for 20 years. So who knows how long this particular pattern of daylight saving time might last. But this problem is a one-time transition. And anything new like that came out in the last year or two, like Windows Vista, for example, the latest version of Windows, it takes into account the new daylight saving time change.
Yeah.
And anything like a car clock that you just set manually 3 weeks earlier. But anything that's pre-programmed for the old daylight saving time system is going to be a problem. And the IT people in each company have to take care of their software. And in a way, it's a little bit like Y2K in that people knew this was coming for 2 years, and then a lot of action is happening this last 2 or 3 weeks that people are doing their changes at the end. And we'll see if it could affect some major problems, but it may not. We'll have to see.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure. I mean, at home, I have ancient computers and cell phones and all that. I mean, it just means that the clock on those things, it's going to be wrong.
Right. Now, for many individuals, it doesn't really matter. I mean, a lot of people don't even set the clock on a lot of their electronic devices. They let it blink at 12. But if you have older software or older devices, what you should do is look at the website of your provider, like Microsoft, for example, and they should have some instructions on what to do. As I said, the newer stuff will automatically update, and the very newest stuff is already included in that. But other older software, it does have to be updated. And for companies, they have to update all their software. Of course, some of this was because we had daylight saving time for such a long period without changing, for 20 years. So when people wrote programs, they didn't take into account the fact that it might change. But on the other hand, this change is the 10th time we've changed daylight saving time since we started having it about 100 years ago. So it isn't like it's never changed before. So
yeah. Well, in fact, speaking of which, Lynn in Green Bay is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Lynn.
Good morning. Mm-hmm. I think Becky had a very good point, the last caller, and it has cost companies more money than you're trying to be so efficient and so on and so forth. Believe me, I just think it's so ridiculous. They should set it one time and just leave it. The rest of the world would be happy with it. The cows and the farmers would be happy with it. You disrupt so many peoples, and I believe those farmers have a lot to do. They're our bread and butter in the world. And this is so ridiculous. I think it's just making one person make a name for himself and put another person's a lot of money in their wallets. Well, so that's what I have to say. They should just leave it alone. The sun rises and sets at the same time, changing the time. People should adapt to that. You get up a little earlier or whatever. But I had to add that.
You don't want any of this. You don't
want. I'm sure there's a lot of people feeling the same as I do. Well, they set it forward and spring and fall back. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
It is so ridiculous.
What? Yeah. Yeah. So Lynn doesn't like springing ahead and falling back.
Well, there are definitely many people with that view, and that's certainly a reasonable view. I have to say that. As I mentioned, there are several benefits: the energy saving, there's a saving in lives and automobile accidents, and there's also a reduction in crime that we generally see because there's very little crime after sunrise, and there's a lot of crime, outdoor crime like mugging after sunset. So by putting an hour of light after sunset and moving the sunset back an hour, it reduces crime. So it has several benefits. On the other hand, there are definitely many people that dislike it. Farmers have always been, she mentioned farmers, have always been the leading group against daylight saving time from the very beginning, from when it started in the early 1900s until now. However, I should also say that in the debate on this new extension in 2005, the farmer opposition was muted compared to previous times, and where they didn't support it, they weren't as strongly against it as they have been in the past.
Well, that folk song that I played, that was Grandpa Jones. I think he was coming from a farmer's perspective there.
That's
why did the farmers oppose it to begin
with? Well, the farmers have to follow the sun regardless of what the clock says. So therefore, when the clock goes forward and everybody else moves forward an hour, the farmers can't move forward an hour because they basically were their work was based on when the sun was out. And so that put the farmers an hour behind everybody else when they had to do things like bring products to market or go into town for business or even do recreation after work. And so farmers didn't like it. Their alternative was to try to do their work in the dark, which often was impossible or certainly unpleasant. So farmers have always been the group against it. As I said, though, their opposition seems to have moderated a little bit. And my understanding of that is that with modern farm techniques and modern farm equipment, they're not as dependent on the sun as they used to be.
Joe in La Crosse is with us now. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, guys. Hey, listen, just a couple things. One is they figure it's going to cost $750 million to do this for the average business, you know, cumulatively total about $50,000 just for the publicly held businesses. The other is the candy manufacturers spend big bucks on this. Every single one of them contributed. There was a gentleman on, I think he was on Kathleen's show just about a month ago, and he was very knowledgeable of such things, and they had spent literally tens of millions of dollars to try and get this changed. Had it not been for them, this would not exist, in my opinion. So I'd just like to hear your guests address those, please.
Yeah.
Oh, and the energy savings, the DOT says that what people spend during the daylight hours is going to exceed what they save as a result of it. So take it away.
Well, we don't have enough time to address all of those because we have a news break coming up. So maybe we'll take it away after that NPR news break. We are talking about daylight saving time and the fact that we are going to be springing ahead this coming Sunday. That's 3 weeks earlier than usual. And we wonder what you think about it, what questions you have about it. Our guest is the author of Seize the Daylight, The Curious and Contentious Story of Daylight Saving Time, David Prerow. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Friday, March the 9th. We're talking about daylight saving time. We spring ahead this weekend on Saturday night before you go to bed or early Sunday morning. You're going to be moving your clocks ahead 1 hour. This is, as I mentioned, 3 weeks earlier than usual. And we will be falling back in the fall 1 week later than usual. All a result of a bill that was passed in Congress, in part to save energy. Our guest consulted with the representatives who came up with this bill. He is David Prerow, author of Seize the Daylight, The Curious and Contentious Story of Daylight Saving Time. He conducted studies on daylight saving time for the U.S. Department of Transportation as well. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890 if you have a question or, I don't know, maybe a gripe. So far, a number of callers aren't very happy with daylight saving time in general and this change in particular. Our caller just before news time, David Pereira, said, this will cost businesses $750 million, I think he said, just to make these changes. Is that right? Is that worth it?
I don't really know where that figure comes from, and I'm sure it's costing businesses maybe a significant amount of money. I think you have to think of it again as a transition cost to a new system that may last for many, many years. So you have to think of the overall cost of that versus the benefit that might last for 20 years or more. As I said, the last time we changed daylight saving time, we moved it up a month in 1986, and we've used that system for 20 years.
Yeah, and he brought up the candy manufacturers again. You addressed that in the first half hour, but I still don't get this. So, all right, maybe candy manufacturers did lobby Congress to do this because they wanted to fall back 1 week later. They thought that would mean a lot more candy sales for Halloween.
I don't really see any benefit they get much from the spring 3 weeks, but they certainly would seem to think that if there's an extra hour of light on Halloween, it would help their sales, and that may well be true. But as you know, for most bills in Congress, there are businesses on both sides pushing Congress to do one thing or the other. But this bill has been up, this kind of proposal to extend daylight saving time has been up for almost every Congress. And the thing that was the impetus this time was the potential energy saving. It was part of the Energy Policy Act of 2005, and in that act there's over 100 provisions to try to save energy, and this was one of those.
Mm-hmm. And he, again, was doubting how much energy savings right. there would be, that you say another study will
right.
commence.
Right. And most countries, daylight saving time is used in 70 countries around the world, and in most of those countries, it's their main factor why they use it is to save energy. So it's generally used to save energy, and as I said, this new study will give us more data on whether it does and if it does. There's another factor I should mention about energy saving. A second thing that daylight saving time does, besides possibly reduce the total use of electrical energy, is it smooths the use of energy, electrical energy, over the day. And the benefit of that is that electrical power suppliers use their most efficient energy source first, and then they use their more less efficient sources of energy as the demand goes up over the day. So if you could smooth the use of energy, even if the total was the same, you'd be producing that energy in a more efficient and usually less polluting way. So that's a second effect that daylight saving has on energy.
Yeah. Andrew in Rice Lake is with us now. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Andrew.
Hi, good morning to both of you. My comment is that, personally, I wish that there was a little more equity in how they disperse the weeks. I would have preferred to have 2 weeks or even maybe 3 weeks in the fall and only 1 week in the spring. I like to do a lot of things outdoors. I'm an avid bow hunter, and the extra hour would definitely have given me more opportunity to spend time outside. And also with our more mild falls that we've had in the more recent years, I'm sure there would be a lot of people that would be able to use those extra hours in our beautiful falls that we have each year.
Yeah, it's not so beautiful now, you're saying, Andrew?
It's kind of a tough time of year right now in the spring. You know, you always, tournament time, you get a few storms and things like that, and generally people are not out too much, although I do like to go skiing and skating. But I definitely do like our falls. We have such beautiful autumns in Wisconsin. And I would love to be able to spend more time with them when I get off of work.
Yeah. David Pereira?
Well, here's someone who wants even more daylight saving time. And there are many people like that. I should mention, overriding everything else is the fact that most people like daylight saving time. Most people would prefer to have more light in the evening than the morning for most of the year, except for the darkest months of winter. The reason, as I said, that we did the extension mostly in the spring is to try to reduce the negative effects. It's sort of a compromise between the majority of people that want more daylight saving time and the minority that don't like it. So by putting the extension mostly in the spring, it reduces the impact on having later sunrises. If you went into the end of November, you start to get some sunrises later than most people are used to, and that might be good because of the benefit in the evening, but it would have that negative effect. But by putting it mostly in the spring, we're going to have sunrises on this new system that are not much different than the sunrises, the worst sunrises that we've had in the under the old system, and that's sort of the compromise.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Andrew, for the call. Yeah, that's my gripe, and it's not a real major one, is that I like sunlight in the morning when I come to work very early in the morning, and that extra hour of sunlight in the evening or daylight in the evening is kind of wasted on me since I hit the sack so early at night. So.
Yeah, well, you're not the only one, mm-hmm. but I would say you're in a minority.
Yeah. Paul in Toma. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Paul.
Greetings. I think the best solution for all of this would be to just go to Universal Time or Greenwich Mean Time, whichever you wish to call it, and then everyone just changes the time that they're doing things according to the season, and that way we don't change our clocks. We have the same time throughout the whole United States and throughout the whole world, and that's what the FAA and the military have done. This would be the best solution, and also if we staggered the times that different people in the large cities are reporting to work, this would lessen the traffic load. Everybody comes to work at 9 o'clock. Okay, you're going to have maximum traffic at that time. But if more were starting more like, say, 5 o'clock and then staggering on down through 10 o'clock during the morning, this would lessen the traffic problems in places like Chicago.
I should say that from the beginning of the proposal of daylight saving time in the early 1900s, people have said, well, why do we need daylight saving time? Why doesn't everyone just wake up earlier in the summer? And, however, when that has been tried in a few isolated cases, what happened was that some companies and some people did wake up earlier and start their business or their day an hour earlier, and others didn't, and it became a very confusing situation. And so the idea of daylight saving time is by doing it by changing the clocks rather than by changing everyone's schedules, everybody gets affected exactly the same way, and sort of everybody moves forward in unison, and it keeps all the interactions between everyone else the same. And so that seems to be one of the main reasons why we do it that way.
Our guest is David Prerau. He is author of Seize the Daylight, the Curious and Contentious Story of Daylight Saving Time. We are talking about the fact that we are going to spring ahead this coming Sunday when Daylight Saving Time begins early this year, talking about why it is a few weeks earlier than usual and why it will last a little longer in the fall, and answering your questions and concerns about this change and Daylight Saving Time in general. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 13 minutes before 8 o'clock, coming up after 8, it's our Friday Week in Review, and we'll talk about some of the week's big issues in the news, from Ann Coulter's F-bomb to Walter Reed to Louis Libby. We'll have lots to talk about in the Week in Review coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about daylight saving time. It starts early this weekend. And we wonder what you think about that and what questions you have for our guest, who knows a lot about daylight saving time. He is the author of Seize the Daylight, the Curious and Contentious Story of Daylight Saving Time, has conducted studies on DST for the U.S. Department of Transportation, was a consultant for members of Congress when they were talking about this bill back in 2005 to extend or move daylight savings time. Now we're going to get it 3 weeks earlier than usual, and it'll fall back 1 week later than usual, the first change since 1986. An email from Susan in Green Bay. I love the change to an earlier daylight saving time. My body hasn't adjusted since it went off last fall, and the added daylight in the evening is great not only for energy savings, but we have more light for after supper activities. And David Pereira, that's a common compliment for daylight savings time.
That's right. That really, as I was mentioning, daylight saving time is very popular, except in the darkest months of winter. And that's the reason that people prefer to have that extra hour of light in the evening. A lot of people can't use it much in the morning, but in the evening when they get home from school or home from work, if they have an hour that they can do some outdoor activities, they enjoy it. There's also some specific groups, like senior citizens, that don't like to drive in the dark or are afraid of crime at night, and they often feel that that daylight saving time gives them an extra hour to do things. It actually, of course, doesn't add any daylight. It just moves it. But it moves it to a place that most people feel is a more usable time, and so a lot of people think they have an extra hour of day to do things when daylight saving time begins.
Yeah. So is everybody in the country doing this, or is Indiana being blackheaded again?
Indiana didn't have daylight saving time in its eastern time zone part for many years, but just last year they decided to get in line with most of the other states, and so Indiana now does have statewide daylight saving time as do 48 states. The two that don't have it now are Arizona and Hawaii.
Yeah.
And it's for two different reasons.
Why?
Hawaii is near the equator, and so the sunrises and sunsets don't change too much over the year, so they don't get as much benefit as other areas. Plus, okay, they're, of course, pretty isolated.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona has a whole different reason. For them, whereas most people in the summer love to have an extra hour of daylight in the late evening so they can go out and do things, in Arizona, it's so hot in the summer that the last thing they want, they say, is an extra hour of daylight.
Ah.
They wait for the sun to go down so they can go outdoors because it cools off at least a little bit when the sun goes down. And so for them, the extra hour of daylight doesn't help, and so they don't have daylight saving time in Arizona.
Well, New Mexico could have that excuse, too.
Yes, but I don't think, well, I think the main cities and the main population area in Arizona, Phoenix and Tucson, are a lot warmer than Santa Fe and Albuquerque, because those are up in the mountain.
I get it. All right. I guess that's legit. Jeff in Rochester is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Jeff.
Jeff, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was calling. I got a solution to the whole problem that'll make everybody happy and everything safer.
All right.
Yeah, set the daylight savings time and standard time halfway in between everywhere, and then you need to double the time zones and change them in half-hour increments instead of one-hour increments, and it'll make everything better for everyone and everyone happy.
I don't know how that would make everything better, Jeff. I don't get it.
That would make everything better. It would put an end to everyone's problems, and that's the final solution, and that's an order. There are no options. You will do that.
Well, maybe, Jeff. I think Jeff's speaking tongue-in-cheek there, I think.
Well, if he ever spoke to people that live right on the border of a time zone, he would see it's not such a simple situation. So by having more time zones, not necessarily going to make everybody happy.
Yeah. We have at least 10 minutes for you to get in on the discussion talking about why daylight saving time is early this year, talking about the pros and cons of daylight saving time, and welcoming your opinions about it, your thoughts about this, your questions for our guest, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. And before we go back to the phones, David Pereira, I never did answer the question that Grandpa Jones posed in his song that we played earlier in the hour about, you know, whoever invented daylight savings time is on my S list. What it was Benjamin Franklin that first came up with this idea.
Well, there's actually two people that we give credit to. Benjamin Franklin came up with the idea that if you wake up earlier, you could utilize the daylight. He was worried that he used to sleep late, and then he'd have to use candles to light his house in the late evening. And he realized that if he woke up earlier, he could light his house for free with the sun rather than use candles. So that's the sort of the concept of daylight saving time, to wake up closer to sunrise. But he didn't say anything about moving the clocks forward. That comes from a man named William Willett in 1905 in England. He used to get up early in the morning and go out for a horseback ride, and he would see nobody else was up. Everyone was sleeping, and he realized this beautiful hour of morning was being wasted. And so he wrote a pamphlet called The Waste of Daylight, where he suggested that if we can move the clocks forward, then we can make use of that beautiful morning in the spring, summer, and fall.
We will go now to Jim in Winona. Hi, Jim. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim.
Hi. Good morning. Here's a concern I have about daylight savings that you don't often hear discussed, and that's the effect that it has on elementary school children. I was a teacher for many, many years, and half of that time was before the 86 change. And I could notice the change the weekend that the daylight savings changed, particularly in elementary students, in the loss of effectiveness and irritability and things like that, because I don't think they got the extra hour of sleep. They'd come home from school, and, of course, they'd like the rest of us. They'd like to play outside. They'd have supper later, consequently get to bed later, but had to get up at the same time. So, and it was really an effect on younger children, that missing that extra hour of sleep.
Yeah,
and it got worse the farther you got toward the end of school. So I thought it had a negative effect. And probably the whole population, I think, is working with less sleep once we get into daylight. Affects us all the same way.
Yeah, it's making us all grouchy, David Perro.
Well, I do think that has been a concern in the history of daylight saving time, that it keeps, when it's light late, it keeps children up, and then they get less sleep. So that's certainly something that has to be considered. I think for most people, though, certainly in the spring and the fall, they're going to go to sleep after the sun goes down anyway. So I don't know if it affects the sleep of most people. And in fact, for some people, I've heard they like it because it's darker. There's an extra hour of darkness in the morning, and so a lot of people get awakened by the sunrise, and so they get to sleep an extra hour in the morning. But I think the effect on children is certainly something that has come up in the past, and is something to be considered.
Yeah, those kids are out in their backyard next door to my bedroom window making... No, I'm just kidding, because I go to bed so early that those kids next door do stay up and out a lot later when it's lighter out. Jean in Appleton, hi, you're on the air.
Yes, I missed the earlier part of the program, and I'm wondering whether he talked about double daylight saving time, which England had either during the war, the Second World War, or after it when they were really short of fuel. And daylight savings time stayed in effect year-round, and I believe it was in the summer that an extra hour was added.
That's exactly right. During World War II in Great Britain, they had daylight saving time in the winter and double daylight saving time in the summer. And we had in the U.S., year-round daylight saving time, but no double daylight saving time.
Yeah, I don't understand. What is double daylight
saving time? Double daylight saving time is moving the clocks 2 hours ahead.
Oh, okay.
So you have So what they had was to have it an hour ahead all winter and then 2 hours ahead in the summer just to save even more energy. And it turns out, and your caller might be interested to know, that exact proposal has been in front of Parliament London just this January, and I was actually consulting with some of the members of Parliament. They're talking about having that system back again, having daylight saving time in the winter and double daylight saving time in the summer. And it didn't pass this time, but it's going to be brought up again, so we'll see what happens. But they're actually considering doing that in the UK right now.
Thank you, Jean. Katrina in Madison, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Katrina.
Hi. My point is, I'm a fairly new mom. I have a 16-month-old son, and in the whole world of at least the new moms that I've been hanging out with, sleep schedules is such a huge thing. And we finally get our kids on a regular schedule, and they're going to bed at 7 o'clock, and I can't tell you how much anxiety I had back in the fall when I was like, oh, no, and how am I going to get him to sleep? And I just think it's a huge issue. I know the teacher had talked about elementary school age, but I think about babies and toddlers, and we're trying to keep them on schedules, and I'm having so much anxiety for the next weekend, and okay, he's gonna think it's, you know, 7 o'clock, it'll be 8 o'clock, and just it's a really difficult thing when you've got little ones. And I never thought about it before, because as an adult I didn't really care. I was like, oh, an extra hour sleep, but with little ones I think it's really difficult.
Well, that certainly is a factor. Of course, that isn't impacted by whether we extend daylight saving time or not, because that's going to happen whenever you have it. But, yes, there are some group of people, even adults, who find the transition hard. Some people feel they get a jet lag kind of effect by being an hour, by losing an hour or gaining an hour. But for most people, it takes a few days and they can get back to normal. But it does cause that kind of short-term problem for several people.
And why isn't it daylight savings time with an S? I want to say that.
Right. Well, that's sort of one of the common ways to save. But if you think of it as a time for saving daylight, that's so it's a time for saving daylight, so it's daylight saving time.
All right.
And that's how the name came into effect.
Well, happy DST.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, it's been fun, John.
Yeah, David Perow, author of Seize the Daylight, The Curious and Contentious Story of Daylight Saving Time. And we thank him for being with us. We thank you for listening along. Remember to spring ahead this Sunday. Move your clocks ahead 1 hour before you go to bed on Saturday night or early Sunday morning. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.